Blog Talk Radio.
Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yes, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together today. I would like for you to grab your Bible right on in and make yourself right at home. We have another wonderful lesson for today. I know you're going to be tremendously blessed. We're at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Grab your Bible as we turn over to the book of Micah, which is in the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament prophets that is considered as a minor prophet. And we're going to look at chapter 7, verse number 11 through verse number 20. And so grab your Bible. I'm going to pray as we get ready to get right into the word on today. Dear Heavenly Father, we bind the devil, we bind the forces of darkness in the name of Jesus, and we call and say that your sovereign and your holy will be done and accomplished even right now. We bind what is not like you and call your sovereign will to be done and accomplished. Now bless the hearers, Lord, and even the doers of your word. Let there be a rhema. Let there be a right now and assured unto thy people. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, I'm going to be talking about Micah, gathered and restored and forgiven. Again, out of the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 20, it reads on this line. In the day that thy walls are built, and in that day shall the decree be far removed. And in that day also he shall come to thee from Assyria, and from a fortified city, and from the fortress to the rivers, and from sea to sea, from mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy flock of thine heritage, which dwelleth solitarily in the woods. And in the midst of Mount Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the day of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. He shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay this on their mouth, their ears shall be dumb. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear the beast. Who is like God? Who is God like us that pardons iniquity and passes by the treasure of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou shalt all thy sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and the seed to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 18. That's what we're going to focus on today. And the scripture said, who is it like unto thee that pardons iniquity by transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger because he delighteth in mercy. Now, let's take a look at this particular prophet. He was not really much to become as a contemporary prophet as some of the other ones, such as Isaiah. Compared to Isaiah, eloquent, literary style, Michael was really rough and also a little tough as well. He was probably a peasant farmer, possibly looked down upon by the city folks of Jerusalem. His own generation nation did not readily receive him, and mighty scholars had not given him much academic attention as Old Testament prophets such as Isaiah, Daniel, and Hosea. However, Micah was argumentable that the most quoted prophet who ever lived, in between his indictment and warning of impending doom, Micah offers powerful words of hope that leaders and common people alike have clung to throughout the centuries. He gave three no promises, and let's take a look at those. Number one, they sheathed their swords into plowshares and their spears into clubs. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nations, nor shall they learn war anymore. Micah 4:3. In 1959, the Russian government presented a monument to the United Nations and with Micah 4:3. It is ironic that Micah's words are to be placed at this prominent international crossroad in New York City, a nation whose leaders and philosophers were atheists. Famous songwriters has borrowed this theme, including Michael Jackson in Heal the World. And In My Heart, I Feel You, My Brothers, create a world with no fear. Together we'll see the nations turn their sword into plowshare. Further, we'll see that Micah's message has been quoted in the speeches of the U.S. president, recited in inaugural ceremonies, and shines as a glimmer of hope, penetrating into the world really in military conflict. Number two, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old and from everlasting. You'll see that over in Micah 5:2. Now, this inquiry of the two wise men from the east about a newborn king of the Jews infuriated Herod the Great. Blood disqualified him from sitting on the throne of David. Now, and you'll see that over in 2 Samuel 7. Nevertheless, he had procured the governorship of Galilee when his father, Antipater, to the Roman state senate to appoint him. Now, with assassination in modern sense, what the priests and scribes and inquiry where this newborn king would be found, citing Micah's prophecy in Bethlehem, see Matthew 2:5-6. Jesus, the newborn king, was the root and the author of David. You'll see that from Revelation 22:16. And also you can see Isaiah 11:1. As the offspring of David, he was the branch. And as the root of David, he was God. Let's look at the third thing that was brought forth. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what do the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. 6:8. Here we find Micah, the rough and rugged writer, calculated eloquently the essence of the Hebrew faith. His intent was not to attack the sacrificial system, but their belief they could plead out merely through external religious acts. The challenge hit this misconception with the truth. Even extreme sacrifice did not please God, did not stem from an inner righteousness and a right relationship with God. You'll see 6:6-8. Now, the last books in the Old Testament are called minor because of the brevity of the message. But as we have seen, Micah's book is far more from being minor in a far-fetching sense. Now, let's take a look further. Micah's 40 years ministry spanned the reign of three being king, Jotham from C 74 BC, Ahaz, Hezekiah unto C 699 BC. During this time, Israel consisted of two separate countries, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Prophesied to both the Samaritan and Jerusalem, the capital city, northern and the southern kingdom, respectively. Now let's take a look at a remnant gathered. Now, in the book of Micah consists of three major divisions, beginning with an oracle of doom and ending with the oracle of hope. The beginning division is marked with the imperative here. And you see that over chapter 1, verses 2, Micah 3, chapter 3, verses 1, chapter 6, verses 1. The prediction of against Israel and Judah, let's take a look at that. Without preamble, Micah launched the Pharisee indictment against Samaria, and I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field. Her craved image shall be beaten to pieces, and all her idols I will lay desolate. That's Micah 1, 6 through 7. Now, the contagious of Samaria's obsession for the worship of Baal have been caused by Jerusalem, with sacrifices to idols and high places brought idols into the temple. The incurable wound of Samaria has come unto Judah, even to Jerusalem. Micah 1 and 9. What holds your praise? Now, Micah lived to see the ruins of Samaria according to Unger's Biblical Bible, Dictionary Bible. Assyria invaded the northern kingdom in 722 BC, led invaded the northern and away 200,000 captives, put an end to Assyrian independence, and brought in heathen colonists. Micah lived to experience the ruin of the southern kingdom, but predicted evil would come down from unto the gates of Jerusalem. That's Micah 1, verses 12. Downfall happened in two major deportations. The first is in 6 BC when Babylon carried away and carried off the nobility of Judah. And then again in 587 when Babylon took into captivity off the ports of the land. Now let's look at the doom of wealthy oppressors. Now in Micah 2, he just the social evils of the day. He condemned the greedy nobles and fickle merchants and murderers and the people's dysfunctional family relationship. He also advocated for a downtrodden and condemned those who plotted to steal from the poor, then accused false prophets who told people only what they wanted to hear. In contrast, Micah's desire to please God drove him to deal only with truth. He refused to be a people pleaser. Let's look further, a remnant that is restored. Now, in a very devastating, every dispensation, there has been a plan of salvation for that time, a prayer to declare truth, deliverance for the godly, and judgment for the weak. God has redeemed a remnant in every biblical dispensation. Let's take a look at that. The promise of restoration. Micah prophecy of restoration had a dual reference. It referred not only to Micah's generation, but also to the future remnant that will turn to Christ and be saved in the end time. Now, the word remnant signifies a group of people who do not measurement because they have been faithful to the word of God, of the Lord. God's judgment always leaves room for mercy. People will humble themselves and repent. Today's efforts are often thought of in terms of appetizing dancing and finding an evangelist who will draw in a big crowd. The biblical formula is quite different. However, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 said, "If my which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek faith and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Humility, prayer, and obedience are God's prerequisites to a revival. True revival cannot produce any other way. Further, we want to look at the denunciation of the rulers and false prophets and priests. Now, in the third chapter, God prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem as a consequence of the iniquity of evil false prophets and priests. Rulers expected a monetary reward for making judicial pronouncements. Priests expected a fee for instructing the people. False prophets is money for their divination and flattery of the people within, with every whim. The tragedy of a nation drifting from God and morals begins with its leader. Every dark period in the history of the world has begun with the wickedness in high places. Corrupt and immoral leaders bring the destruction of their people and country. Oh, for national leaders who will be humble and humble themselves and seek the face of God. Oh, for leaders who will not bend to the pressures of time, but will speak the truth in love. Even in times when godlessness prevails, God will send a prophet or a preacher to guide people in the way of deliverance. And there is always a remnant who will follow that prophet. These men and women of God pay the price of the displeasure, resentment, and sometimes hatred shown by people who, according to Paul's quaint expression, having itchy, you'll see that over in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, declaring truth in the face of hate, rampant idolatry, wickedness, and violence requires courageousness, which, like Micah, comes only from God. Let's look at Micah 3 and 8. It said, "But truly I will power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his aggression and to Israel his sin." Micah 3 and 8. Now let's take a look at another aspect here at the millennial reign. Now, throughout history, mankind has tried to institute world peace by anti-proliferation treaties and political unions and peace pacts by scores. For instance, the League of Nations formed after World War One, and the United Nations formed after World War Two, represented mankind to solve the world's problems. Yet we must continue to war. Now, the fulfillment of the prophecy actually covered a vast amount of time in history. Some have already been fulfilled, but the prophecy of chapter 4 projects into the future. They give great hope of time on earth when God's peace shall reign. Let's look at Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. It said, "And this shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountains and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, and shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Just before the millennium, the Lord will call to himself of his dispersed flock and bring them to the Holy Land. They finally will fulfill God's desire that they may be a holy nation and kingdom of priests. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6. Jesus Christ up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, and all nations will come to worship, bring gifts to the temple. The gates of the holy city will be open continually. Isaiah 6 and verse 11. The rulers of a nation cannot solve world's problems. Only a right and just God can heal the nations and bring world peace. But Micah's message has become the hope of peace for all mankind. Let's look further. The promise of the Messiah coming. You'll find that Opus 5, verses number 2 and verse 3. It contains this greatest promise of all age. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet I shall come forth unto me that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore give them up until the time that she will travail and bring forth. Now, in this prophecy, Micah saw not only the birth of the Messiah, but also the time when Jesus rule and reign in the millennium. Notice the detail of this prophecy, Micah's specific birthplace from the Messiah, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which stated in the village in a known region in Judah. Now, the fulfilled prophecy arrived with the birth of the Messiah when Jesus was born of a virgin, a maiden in the obscure village of Bethlehem. So although Jesus' mother was a peasant, royal blood flowed through him because of her lineage through Nathan, the son of King David. You'll see that over in Luke 3, verses 31. Jesus truly was born King of the Jews, Matthew 2 and 2. His birth was like others because he is from everlasting. You'll see that over in Micah 5. Now, the second component of this prophecy still awaits fulfillment when Jesus, Christ, the eternal God with us, Matthew 1 and 23, will reign in Jerusalem. Jesus' divinity guaranteed the eternity of his reign. Isaiah of the increase of the government and the peace, there shall be no end. And we're in Isaiah 9 and 7. Now let's take a look further. Isaiah, Israel trial. Now, hear now what the Lord say. Arise and plead your cause. That's Micah 6 and verses 1 out of the New King James Version. Micah summons to the Lord's courts of law seems to echo throughout Israel. And it reads, hear ye, O mountains, the controversy and the strong foundation of the earth, for the Lord has counsel with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Micah 6 and verse number 2. Now the prophet of case which a brief review of Israel history, miraculous deliverance from slavery in Egypt through the leadership of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. They're on the plain of Moab when the king of Moab hired Balaam to curse God's people, but out of his mouth came abundant blessings. A miracle crossing of the river Jordan from Shittim. Their last encampment before crossing the Jordan to Gilgad. Their first encampment to entering the promised land. The antidote for depression and discouragement is to look back at the miracle God has provided, rehearsing God's blessing, erected a protective seawall, days of hurt and disappointment rushed in. Call to remember the former days. Cast not for your confidence. Hebrews 10, verse 32 and 35. Now, the miracle of the past faith for the future. Like a zealous persecutor, Micah sees Israel in his box and begins a series of leading questions that summarize his case. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high king? Shall I come before him with burnt offering, with a calf of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased thousands of ram or with thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I have firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? That's over in Micah 6, verses 6 through 7. And in verse 8, Micah then declares the critical point of his case, three requirements that are to all believers and not just the Jews. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what do require of thee. And let's look at these three things. Number one, justly. God requires honesty in our relationships and deeds, not only with our fellow or with him. We can fool those around us, but we can never fool God, for he knows us better than we know ourselves. We should rid ourselves of all pretense and dissimulation before coming to him. He can read the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Number two, to love mercy. God always balances his judgment with mercy, and we must do the same. Line in life, when we must make judgment calls, it is important to choose carefully between good and evil. Further, the difference in attitude between judging righteously and being judgmental. God asks not only to judge righteously, but do it through the eyes of mercy. Number three, he said, I want you to walk humbly by God. Once again, we are reminded that spiritual success is connected to humility. Arrogant is always close to God, realizing how impotent we are in comparison to his power, give us no alternative but to approach him with humility. James wrote, humble yourself in the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's James 4 and 10. Now, let's take a look at the sad state of the nation. An anguish poured from the prophet's heart. Woe is me. Man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. That's Micah 7, verses 1 through 2. Micah mourned because of the wickedness in Israel. There was wholeheartedness, ungodliness, chaos, and bloodshed. Every individual was intent on destroying her. Governors and judges could lead to scheme to do evil and pervert justice. After delivering a seven-verse indictment of Israel's sin, Micah points to the remedy. And let's take a look at that remedy because it's still relevant for today. Therefore will I unto the Lord. I will wait for God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rebel against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall rise around. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, the world offers us uncertain hope. I hope things will get better. I hope I can make it. But great and tangible hope can be found in God's word, which hope we have as anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, Hebrews 16. This sure and steadfast hope spurs us to get back up when we fall, which is the key to spiritual success. No matter how many times a person makes success come, if he keeps getting up, the only people God cannot use are those who give up and rest in defeat. Now let's look further at this forgiveness, this remnant forgiven. Now, the word remnant appears six times in the book of Micah. In today's language, a remnant means a leftover, like a piece of cloth that was on the end of each large bolt of a material that has been cut and sold at full price. Generally, left on that bolt is marked down and sold for much less. However, reference to a remnant has required a different connotation. And in a biblical context, a remnant refers to a group of people who have been called out of darkness into light. They are those who have repented, returned to God, and found it. Now, further, the future blessings of Israel. Let's look at that. Once again, Micah prophesied, have dual references at the same time, interceded for the people of his generation. He also pointed to the future time when Israel will return to God and receive his blessing. He recalled the promise made to Abraham that from his seed should come a who will bring truth and mercy to the world. That will perform the truth and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto us from the days of old, Micah 7 and 20. Further, the steadfast faith God guaranteed the fulfillment of promised to the patriarchs. My loving kindness will I not take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. That's Psalms 89. The birth, life, and ministry and death of Jesus Christ fulfills his promise to Abraham through that through him all families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 3. Now God's powerful, forgive him. Micah prophesied at a time when Israel will return to God and find forgiveness. That's over in 7 verses 18 and 19. Who is God like unto thee when iniquity passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He will not in his anger forever because he is delight in mercy. He will return, he will turn again. He will have mercy and turn upon us. He will subdue our iniquity and thou will cast all our sins into the depth of us. Now, what a comfort to know that God will not remain and retain his wrath forever. His pardon iniquity and forgive transgression. Isaiah expressed it bluntly over in Isaiah 57, verses 15, as well as verses number 18. He said, I, the Lord, dwell in a holy place, and with him also is of a contrite and humble spirit. I have seen his wicked ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him and to his mourner. Now let's take a look as we close out on this lesson on today. The Old Testament prophets dealt primarily with Jews. However, it would be interesting to know what warning they were sending to church today. In the New Testament, at the end of the first century, the Apostle John, like Michael, to the believers to urge, he that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church, Revelation 3:2. Have we, like the church of Laodicea, grown lukewarm, ballistic, and self-reveling? John Cobb counseled that church to bind wide remnant and eyes sad from God. Our relief with God can be restored once we have been tried in the fire and have been clothed in the garment of his righteousness and had our eyesight restored. To the church of Philadelphia, Joseph wrote, because thou have kept the words of my patience, I will also keep thee from more of temptation, because I come quickly. Behold, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11. Faithful believers will inherit a new name in the New Jerusalem in the presence of God. You see that Revelation 3 and 12. The church of today stands as a place, the threshold of the fulfillment of many prophecies. God called for his church to be spiritually alert by the word of the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, who are the signs of the time. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21 and verse number 28. We've just read to you and shared with you on today a wonderful one about Micah, a redeemed remnant that has been gathered, restored, and forgiven. To tell you, we're living in those days and time that we as the children of God as never before must make our calling and election sure, continue to be that and do what the Lord our God has called us to do, and even like Micah has said, to do justly, to have mercy, and to humbly with our God is very critical for us as children of God. And so I pray that this last day has been a blessing. As you draw nigh unto the Lord, God promised that he would draw nigh unto us. And so in my closing on today, I would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and he will open the door and bless you as we recognize that there is a miracle right there in your mouth. All you need to do is ask. And the Bible said, it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, not, and it shall be given unto you. So, child of God, keep on asking, on seeking, and keep on knocking. As I close today, I pray that there will be a blessing that will come to your house and that God will meet every one of your needs and that you'll continue to do what called you out to do, and that he told David is time to pursue. Over in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, it's time to pursue and go up. Let your heart pursue that which God called you to do, and to go up and bring glory and honor unto his name. Until again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.